everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Retro Gamers Podcast, episode 222. Larry here.
And Anthony here.
What's going on, Ant? How are you?
I'm doing all right. Too many twos this week.
A lot of twos. It's like a sequel almost. Three times over, times 100, plus 11.
No.
No? I thought I actually was getting there.
No.
No, okay. Fair enough. Don't take my math for it.
So plus one, plus two, plus one.
One and two, and one and two. So we're here for another rousing episode of the Retro Gamers Podcast. And we got a lot to, not a lot to talk about, but there's a couple of interesting anniversaries we're going to touch on this week. Some thoughts about some shipments maybe happening, hopefully soon. So we got some random stuff happening today. Just wanted to give you a heads up on it. But right away, hit that like button on YouTube and Instagram TV. Share us, like us. And of course, we'll throw the rest of the social media information later on in the episode. But we definitely appreciate everyone. Especially on our YouTube, we've broken 250. So,
hey.
Yeah. Take it.
We're heading there. Leaps and bounds. And when I say leaps and bounds, I mean a very slow trickle.
Yes. And a large step over.
Yes. So,
but we got some good stuff happening. First of all, let's just talk about it. Let's just mention it because it's been about 3 years in the making and we're getting tired of waiting. But not like there's any major news, don't get me wrong, but Polymeg is apparently our shipping.
Yes. We actually received a message on our Facebook page from, one of our followers, Sean, who sent us a picture of his Polymega set. And he showed off everything except the NES module. He said the NES module didn't show. Maybe there's a delay on that one or something like that, but bottom line is they're out there, they're getting shipped, which means it's only a matter of time before I get mine before Larry's.
I looked into it. I officially ordered mine September 9th, 2018. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure it was the day, it was probably maybe the day two mm-hmm. of the pre-order launch.
Right. And I ordered mine in sometime in the spring of 2019. I want to say it was somewhere around April of 2019. Mm-hmm. But the difference between you and me, I just ordered the base console, which is the CD base.
Mm-hmm.
You ordered everything. So I wouldn't
kit and caboodle.
Right. I wouldn't be surprised if I get it before you.
Neither would I. but seeing Sean when he posted, when he sent us the picture, which was very cool, and not having the NES module, I feel like, and I just thought I heard this or read this somewhere, that they're now incorporating into the, because originally they weren't. They were incorporating into the NES module gameplay for Famicom games.
Ah.
Because unlike the Super Nintendo and the Genesis, like those you can just really swap out in the same module. But right. The NES, an NES cart and a Famicom cart are different enough that they would have needed some sort of adapter or something. Mm-hmm. Whether or not they're just going to include an adapter versus I can't imagine them actually reworking the whole thing unless it has something to do with like very easy hardware to fix.
No, I would have a feeling it would be something more along the lines of what the Retro Freak does. I don't know if you I know you threw out your Retro Freak.
It is on landfill somewhere on Staten Island.
But, I'm going to actually show, I think I have it actually right here. So
yeah, while you're getting it, if you're unaware of it, to mod an original North American Super Nintendo to play Super Famicom games, all you got to do is pop out the two pins that are inside the Super, plastic pins, not connector pins, but plastic pins, pop those out, and your Super Nintendo will play Super Famicom games.
Right, and it's the same thing with the Retro Freak. So the Retro Freak plays Famicom games, but it doesn't, the base console doesn't play mm-hmm. NES cartridges because obviously they're different sizes, yeah. Unless you have an adapter like this.
Yes.
You know, so that's why I'm wondering, like maybe the Polymega is creating just maybe. Literally an adapter like this to plug in so you can play Famicom games.
I mean, but also I got to imagine any of those adapters should work. I mean, I know I have I think I have the Hyperkin adapter, I think. I might have a different one. I do have an adapter. I know that.
Yeah. Oh, you just mean like a cross adapter that would apply.
Yeah, just like any. Yeah, I got to imagine.
I mean, that's entirely possible. I mean, it all depends on the. Yeah, I mean, It should, hypothetically speaking.
Break open a some of the Gyromites have an adapter in it already.
Yeah.
That's how the game was.
Yeah. So, I mean, who knows? We'll see what happens. But the bottom line is, once again, we've got our hopes up that we'll be receiving those soon.
Yes. Hopefully we will see. Something else I wanted to mention real quick, just as far as interesting. You know, we talked about it in the past, digital media versus physical media. But I've been purchasing some physical media lately, a lot of these from like Strictly Limited Gaming. Mm-hmm. Like these, basically they're Western games, Eastern games, excuse me, like in Japan and everything. But Strictly Limited is basically translating them and bringing them over here to the West, even though they're located in the UK or England or Great Britain, whatever it's called now.
Right.
But there's an interesting update only for the Switch, though. A lot of the games they do for the Switch and the PS4, specifically those two systems. So I pre-ordered a game. It's the Darius Cosmic Revelation Collection. Mm-hmm. Darius side-scrolling shoot 'em up, awesome game. But they just announced that kind of at the last minute, which now makes me wonder if there's going to be a further delay on these games. But they just added Sagaia, the Game Boy version, but only to the Nintendo Switch version. The PS4 copy apparently is not going to get this Game Boy version.
Well, I wonder if it was a Game Boy exclusive, like Nintendo exclusive type of thing.
I don't know, because like the Konami classics, like Contra and Castlevania, the Game Boy versions came out on the Xbox and the PS4 versions.
Right.
So it's weird. I don't know, but you're right. It could be something to do with just Nintendo. But it was very cool to see, though, them incorporate at the last minute this Game Boy version.
Yeah, and that's really cool. But yeah, and I guess it just, again, it has to do with rights and everything like that. Like if it's a Nintendo game, it's not going to go on the PS4. However, you just reminded me of a piece of news that was that I read earlier this week about Nintendo games coming to the PS4. I don't know if you saw this.
Nintendo games coming to PS4. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So there were
Super Mario Brothers finally.
Right, Super Mario Brothers finally coming on to the Crash. PlayStation. Hey. No. But I read online earlier this week that two N64 released games are going to be released digitally on the PS4. Oh. It's I believe Turok and Turok 2. Do you remember those, the Dinosaur Hunter games?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so they were only released on the N64.
Mm-hmm.
So, but again, I mean, it's a third party, obviously, but back then it was licensed directly to Nintendo only. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Sony got the rights for those, so they actually are going to be releasing those on PlayStation 4.
I know Switch got those versions maybe a year ago, digital versions of those. So, all right, so it's pretty cool to see PlayStation getting some love on that. Yeah, at this point, I mean, I feel like, what was that? The Disney collection, that Disney Afternoon collection. Those were all NES games. Those were pure NES games, every one of them. But, of course, now available on the PlayStation and the Xbox. Ironically enough, not available on the Nintendo. But
well, Disney licensed games, so I guess Disney would have to strike a deal with Nintendo to release them on.
But I'm just saying, it was just pretty funny. Yeah. But nowadays I think it's. I don't think it matters. Even though I think your point is correct with the Game Boy with this Darius collection, but I don't think it really matters what system it came out on, whether or not they would say which system it was on. Like, for example, and I always find this weird, I don't know why. So they just, BlizzCon happened just a couple weeks ago, announcing they're doing a Diablo 2 remake, Diablo 2 Resurrection, that's coming out for all the next gen systems.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Which actually looks fantastic. Diablo 4, so a brand new entry into the series, is getting ready to come out. You've been playing Diablo 3, right?
I have been. I actually just played it the other night, too.
Right? Oh, that game's awesome. So, what system again?
I'm playing on my PS5.
Oh, PS4. PS4. Yeah,
or 4, whatever you want to call it.
I think that's the one system I didn't have it on, funny enough. Well, you should get it on Xbox. No, I got it on Switch. Nah. But I wonder if this cross-platform. In any event. So they announced all these new games and everything, but they also announced, which actually we can talk about here, it is the Blizzard Arcade Collection. And it was three games. I don't know why they call it arcade collections. I don't really think they were technically arcade games. It's
arcade style?
Maybe. The Lost Vikings. Okay. Rock and Roll Racing. And a third one, I am desperately trying to type real quick to find, to remember what the game is.
Are you sure those weren't arcade games?
They might have been. I just don't remember them being arcade games.
Okay.
So don't get me wrong. It's called the Blizzard Arcade Collection.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah. Can you tell me what that third game is, though?
Lost Vikings, Rock and Roll Racing, and Blackthorn.
Thank you, Blackthorn. All righty. So, all right, fine. So the games come out. They're really cool. They're you got the original versions. You got like a definitive version, which is like a modern type version.
Yeah.
But when I bought it on the Switch, but when you played it, you have like, it'll say SNES option, Genesis option, like for the different versions. And then like a That's hybrid really cool. of the two. That's and really, really cool. What else did that? The Aladdin Lion King double pack
did that as well. Yes. Yes, they did. A game I still haven't played since I bought it.
Shocking, right?
I have as good a chance of playing it as I do my brand new Space Channel 5 collection that I got from Limited Run Games.
There you go. Terrible company, great game, in my opinion.
Yeah, both games, actually.
You got to get, actually, I'd love to
I never to played the Space second one.
What, Space Channel?
Yeah, Space Channel 5 2.
Mm.
Never played the second one.
I'm curious what that game's going to look like in VR.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too. It's in VR. So here's an interesting question too. Since we've been we were talking a lot last week about our contest, and again, we're jumping around today, guys. So keep up with this. You know, our 2020 2021 contest where we show how lame we are and how few games we can beat in 2 years.
Yes.
But would Space Channel 5 be considered completing a retro game if I'm completing it in VR?
You know what? I mean, they really didn't change any of the core gameplay, right?
They didn't.
It's just in VR. I would count that.
Yeah, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I'm not all that excited about playing through it in VR because I'm assuming I have to mimic her friggin' moves. I actually cursed on our podcast for the first time. Oops.
Oh, I didn't even hear it.
Yeah.
All right. Timestamp that one.
Sorry. Somewhere around 12:15.
Works for me.
I'm assuming that's what you need to do because it's you use the PlayStation Move controller. So I'm assuming you're kind of like, you know, zapping or doing whatever. But I am not standing in my living room and dancing, for myself.
But you play Beat Saber.
I play Beat Saber, but that's more like slashing things. It's not dancing.
Okay, fair
like
enough.
I'm swiping and slicing. I'd rather do that. It's like Fruit Ninja.
Yes, Fruit Ninja, I'm sure, is on the VR.
Oh, it should be. But anyway, yeah, I just want to...
All right, that's pretty interesting. Yeah, you know, I think it is actually pretty cool to see actually kind of cross-platform playing kind of sort of.
Yeah.
Because we definitely have, we definitely have listeners who probably never owned, like they were the Genesis family as opposed to the Nintendo family or vice versa. So it's cool to see, you know, these games getting their due on different platforms. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So obviously other than those exclusive characters that would stay on their own platforms. So I'm all for those cross iterations. So
as am I. No, I fully support that because again, and in certain instances, depending on which games, kind of like Aladdin and Lion King, you actually see how different the games were on the platforms. So the Super Nintendo and the Genesis versions of Aladdin and Lion King were different games.
I mean, not completely different, but different enough.
Yeah, different enough that it was like, okay, it was like beating two separate games.
You can, and if you want, you can actually hear, because between the two of them, yes, there were some graphical differences between the Genesis and the Super Nintendo, but the sound, that's what really is different. And you can hear that difference when you play the different versions.
Yeah, absolutely.
The one thing I didn't understand, though, they included the Game Boy and then like Game Boy Color versions of the games. Mm-hmm. Like just include one or the other.
Well, I mean, they wanted to give the variety in case you wanted to really feel the original Game Boy version.
I guess so. But People
love pretty... that shade of green.
Oh, my God. Pea green.
Yeah.
Then eventually got the black and white when the Pocket came out.
Exactly.
Which was a little weird, I'll admit, when I first saw that. I'm like, oh. I can actually see things a little clearer. Who knew green was such a terrible color?
Most people. Of course, I say that when you see my walls here.
It is. It's a green room. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but this is a very hill/foresty green. It's very peaceful. Okay.
makes you feel like. Just throw a couple trees in there, you're good to go.
Exactly. It's not snot green. Okay.
Boogerman. That's a game that needs to be remade. Man.
There you go.
Booger.
I did not do Boogerman Green in my office.
Awesome. For the record, for the contest, I'm still working on Castlevania 3.
Okay.
And I'm going to start Zelda. The original Legend of Zelda, I mentioned last week, I've never officially beaten the original Zelda on NES.
Right.
So after we talked last week, I'm like, I'm up for that challenge. I'll do that. But then I thought to myself, I'm wondering, should I do the Famicom version or should I do the NES version? Only because, for no other reason, the poles, to do the whole, the controller, the yell into the controller, like to get that feel of the game. But then I thought to myself, A, I can't read Japanese, so I'm not going to know what everything's doing because it's not translated. And B, as much as that part's cool, let's face facts. Originally, we didn't know that existed, so we would know the North American version.
Right.
So I'm like, you know what? It would be cool to play the other one, but I'm just going to stick with the OG North American.
And yeah, play I would that. Stick with the OG if I were you as well. And then, of course, what I talked about, which we made a decision on last week, is that I've never played through the second quest on the original Legend of Zelda, and we have decided that if I do play through it, it would be considered a...
I'll count it, yep.
Yep, it'll count as a retro game to beat. But on top of that, I was thinking back about...
No other special edition games. No, that's the only one.
No. I was just thinking in general about our contest and retro games that we're going through because, you know, I went through the whole Capcom beat 'em up bundle and those were all really quick games just to throw up on the list and they were all fun and everything like that. But then I also thought back to like, what other retro games am I currently playing to add to the contest list? And I realized I've got three other games that I'm in the middle of.
What else are you playing?
Well, I started Legend of Zelda Oracle of Ages, and I'm still working on that.
Okay.
And Casey Bennett constantly asks every time I bring it up, when are you going back to it? Because I was live streaming it.
You were.
And then obviously took a break.
Careful, you wait long enough, you got to start over from scratch.
Oh, no. We're not starting over from scratch. So Oracle of Ages is one. I started Super Mario Sunshine on the Mario 3D collection on my Switch, so I'm working on that.
Okay.
And then I also started Luigi's Mansion on the GameCube. So.
Oh, did you?
Yes. Needless to say, it's a fun game. The controls are awful. Literally, they are just really, really annoying. But
all right. I can see what you're talking about. Yeah. I didn't mind them, but I can see what you're talking about.
And it could be also I'm playing the game like 20 years after it came out or whatever it is. And it's just a bit cumbersome to work the controls. Mm-hmm. However, so I've got those three games going. So I plan on getting back to all three of those and getting through them. Now, Mario Sunshine, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through it and beat it. I'm not going to like get all the sun.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the suns and all that stuff. I'm just going to play through to beat it.
Shines.
All the shines, whatever it is. So I plan on adding those three. Obviously, Zelda Master Second Quest, which I'll be honest with you, I really wanted to try streaming this week to commemorate the 35th anniversary of Legend of Zelda, but work unfortunately decided that this would be a very busy week.
Same so with me, which is why we have this type of episode today.
Exactly. Yeah, we've kind of got a hodgepodge episode because work was very demanding this week. Lots of games to add to the contest stuff. You're doing Zelda, I'm doing Zelda, among other things. Just to throw one other Zelda item your way really quickly. Because again, I'm kind of thinking back to what did I see this week in the retro game thing. I saw this item up for sale that I really want to buy. And I'm holding myself back from buying it. And I'm sending you a link to it. Somebody had posted this. It's on Etsy. But it is a the company is Retro Design 3D. It's a 3D design of the first dungeon in The Legend of Zelda. Full color with the item, the 3D printed items in each room.
That is insane. I'm buying it right now.
Yep. It's the eagle. If you remember the first dungeon in Zelda, it was in the shape of an eagle, right? Yeah. That's what they called it. So they have every single room in there. And again, all the blocks in each room are 3D. The keys that you find in each room. There's a core set with everything. And then if you buy the add-on set with it, the add-on set gives you the tree, which is the entrance to the first dungeon. And it gives you the secret room where you find the bow, which is
like the actual item. Room. Yeah, the actual when you go down. Oh my God.
So I saw this and I'm like, it has detachable legs. So you can present it flat or at an angle.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, I just saw why it's on. I'm looking at the legs. I'm like, why is it putting it on an angle? So that way you can jam the hidden room underneath.
Yeah. So you can place the hidden room under the room where it was supposed to be.
Oh my God.
So anyway, Retro Design 3D. Just absolutely brilliant item here.
Gorgeous. Brilliant.
Gorgeous. And if you go to their page, they have other things. They have like engraved coasters. They have a couple engraved poster sets. They also have, you can buy a print and paint version of 8-bit Hyrule and Link to the Past map. And basically,
look at that.
They send you the digital file so you can download it and then you can print and paint it. And then they have examples of the painted version.
Yeah, in a 3D printer.
Yeah, which is beautiful.
That is
so. But obviously, I don't have a 3D printer. So I'm not going to lie. I'm very, very tempted to buy this dungeon model right now.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, for the extra, it's only an extra $30 for the add-on. And I'm like, okay, for an extra $30, I definitely want that. So
phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
So absolutely stunning thing. Anybody who's interested in something like that, Retro Design 3D, I thought this would be a perfect way to commemorate the 35th anniversary of Zelda. So this may wind up in my collection.
I absolutely.
Yeah.
That is awesome. All right. Yeah. I gotta get off of that. All right. So very, very,
very cool. Very, very cool.
You know, speaking of Zelda,
we didn't talk enough about it last week.
No. We did our supersized episode last week.
Yep.
A lot of people, you know, on social media was like, hey, you know, happy birthday, Link. Happy birthday, Zelda. Technically, whose birthday would it have been? Zelda's or Link's? Maybe both. I guess both.
Well, don't forget it was also Ganon's birthday.
Yeah, that's true. But he's the bad guy. So
bad guys have birthdays too. See, this is the problem. This is how people become villains. They just get looked over, misunderstood, and all this stuff. And then everybody wonders what went wrong.
It's like what happened.
You ignored him. That's why.
It's like what happened to the Grinch.
Yeah, it's like you just ignored them.
Speaking though, the one entity though that kind of left Zelda in the dust during its big 35th anniversary was Nintendo.
Yeah, and I don't understand what's going on there. I get that we're in the midst of a Mario 35th anniversary, but of all the franchises to kind of shuck, I would say Zelda would not be one of them. I get that they came out really close to one another, but it's just weird. And I want to say I don't think they're going to overlook it. I just think they haven't said anything yet.
I agree. I think, like you just said, I think it's totally because we're still in the Mario 35th celebration, which ends the end of March. I think then come April or maybe May, because actually the Super Mario one didn't even really start till like September. Mm-hmm. But I think, they'll wait for Mario to stop. And then they'll go into Zelda later on this year. But nothing, though.
Yeah, and I wonder if that was the reason why, because I remember when they celebrated the 35th anniversary of Mario, everybody noticed, they're like, why are they putting the end of March as like a timestamp on it? Mm-hmm. Like, why are they stopping it at the end of March? And it could very well be, well, here's 6 months of celebrating Mario, and then we're going to follow that up with 6 months of celebrating Zelda. So it's entirely possible we're just going to transition over. They just haven't announced it yet because it's the end of February.
Exactly. So
we'll see.
But it was just very funny, like everyone called him out, especially during the Nintendo Direct, when you finally get, the guy in charge of Zelda. And, he comes out, and then, I remember I'm sitting there watching the stream. I'm like, ooh, all right, now we're going to get, like, are we going to get, like, a Ocarina of Time coming to Switch or some sort of collection or something? And literally they're like, yeah, we really don't have any news on Breath of the Wild 2, and here's Skyward Sword HD. So I was like, okay.
Yeah, I can only think that they're holding back.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I think so. Nintendo's not one to ignore these things because it's a great... obviously it's a great marketing tool. It's a great, obviously a merchandise selling tool.
Totally.
So I would not think that they would just ignore it. I'm assuming we're going to get some news soon.
But the internet is one to not let it sit. and yeah. wait that they have to hound and
no patience. Like,
where's go? Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. No patience whatsoever.
How dare you, Nintendo? How dare you ignore it? And then like three weeks from now, oh my God, we love you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, we're finally getting our 3D collection to the Switch. Thank God. So we'll see.
Yeah, we shall see.
But yeah, so, but a lot of talk on Zelda, a lot of talk on that. There's, and it's funny, we're talking about overshadowing or not talking about anniversaries. We got a couple of anniversaries going to be happening right now, actually, this week.
Yeah, we do, actually. I'll start with the smaller one, basically. But and again, it's one of those things where I was joking with Larry earlier, because like when we talk about like game anniversaries, I always think about like 20 years ago. And I saw a meme about this, too, where it's like, you know, people think that games that are 20 years old are like, you know, Donkey Kong and stuff like that, where it's like, no, those are like 40 years old. Ooh. I was like, games that were 20 years old are like 3D games now. And it's like, just thinking back to that makes me depressed. But anyway, we're celebrating 20 years of the very unique, original, and adult 3D game on the N64, which is Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Yes.
That was 20 years ago this week.
Conker, this lovable squirrel, originally on a Game Boy Color game. And then when they announced an N64 game for Conker, I remember reading it in Nintendo Power. I'm like, oh, all right, this is cool. And they had like not gameplay, but screen grabs from this sweet Conker's game that's going to be coming out on the N64.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, all right, cool. All right, that seems like a platformer, like a Mario 64 type game. And then I'm pretty sure Conker was on the cover of Nintendo Power. Don't hold me to that, though.
I'm pretty sure he was.
Yeah, I think he was. And then I'm like, what is this? And then you start reading about it. And I mean, it was like, I can't even, I'm trying to think of another television show, movie, character that did such a 180. That now this lovable sweet squirrel from a Game Boy Color game is now a foul mouth poop fighting drunk on an N64 system, which was still very family friendly.
If I had to pick a movie character off the top of my head who did something similar, I'd have to choose Ash in the Evil Dead series.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Because if you actually watch him in the first movie, he's kind of like this just nice guy.
You're right.
You know, and then in the second one, he's going crazy, and then he just becomes this badass in Army of Darkness. So like that's kind of what happened to Conker.
Army of Darkness is awesome. Yep. Yes, no, very much. You're right. I can see that definitely. I mean, like, do you remember like seeing this and not only just Conker, maybe not even being familiar with the character itself. But to see this type of game on an N64, even back then, you know, so I was in college. Mm-hmm. So certainly I'm not being like offended or thrown off by the material being offered. But knowing how family friendly Nintendo is, it's like, that's a weird choice.
Yeah, and I think what I think what it was Nintendo realized that they were losing a lot of the adult market.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they just came around to it a little bit too late when they were like, okay, we're very family friendly, or even at the time, like we're also very children oriented
yeah.
in terms of our gameplay. But they realized that a lot of the reason why their sales weren't going as well is because everybody was switching to PlayStation and Dreamcast and whatever, because they had games more geared towards the kids that Nintendo used to have that grew up. So I think that they were just trying to make a play for that. The problem was it was so late in the console cycle. I think at that point they were already like the console was already being given up on,
mm-hmm.
or they had decided to move on to the GameCube. So Conker came out, like Conker was one of the last games, I think, to come out for the N64.
You know, it's funny because I was just trying to look it up, but I don't know if it's going to really have any information on it. But you're right. Time wise would have been way off. Like I was wondering if it was the first M-rated game on the N64, but I'm pretty sure like Doom and Resident Evil beat it to it.
Yeah, I'm sure Resident Evil would have had to have been M-rated for sure.
So that's interesting, though. But I think that was
part of the reason why. Because if you also remember, like Resident Evil and stuff like that, like those games came out on the N64 like a long time after they came out on the PlayStation.
Exactly, that's what it was. Like they weren't like launch titles or anything like that. Yeah, looking through here, probably those are the top three games. And even so, Resident Evil and Doom, M-rated, but like for the horror genre, which is one thing. But then you get like Conker's Bad Fur Day with all like the poop jokes and everything. Yeah. It's like a completely different it almost felt more mature, like an adult game, as opposed to Resident Evil, which is like for adults. Like children will probably just be scared of it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, exactly. And there was also, like there were very few adult games. Like, I remember there was the South Park game on N64.
God, the really crappy one.
The really bad first-person, GoldenEye-ish South Park game.
Oofa. Yeah.
Throw the snowballs at the turkeys.
But, hey, listen, happy birthday, Conker.
Happy birthday, Conker.
You can play it right now on the Rare Replay, actually on the Xbox One. It's on there, so.
It's also, is it on the PS4? Rare Replay? I don't remember.
No.
Rare... I have it on the Xbox.
Yeah, Rare Replay's Xbox. Yep. All right. What else? I think we got a couple other anniversaries going.
You had a couple you wanted to.
Yeah, the next one, which is a big one, don't get me wrong, but I I was about a month too early in really deep diving and talking about it. I think it was the solo episode I did when you weren't available when I talked about it.
Yeah, but, and as always, when I'm not there, you just get things wrong. When I'm here, you get things wrong.
That's true.
I can't correct you if I'm not there.
It's on the fly.
Yep.
We're live. So it's the 25th anniversary officially now, really. The 25th anniversary of Pokemon.
Yes.
And actually, they just did a Pokemon Direct recently. So for you and I'm not a big Pokemon fan. Let me rephrase that. I didn't play Pokemon. I mean, I'm a fan of Pokemon, but I didn't play Pokemon. Ant, I know you didn't play Pokemon.
I didn't play the traditional Pokemon games, no.
Yeah.
I played all the like offshoots like Snap and Puzzle League and Stadium.
Puzzle League was awesome. Are you getting the new Pokemon Snap?
I might just because I did really enjoy the original one.
That's coming out April 30th on the Switch.
Speaking of Pokemon.
Uh-oh, there's your Pokemon.
My Pokemon's right here.
They also announced a couple of...
it's my own personal Snorlax.
Wow. Oh, that cuts deep on that one. Holy cow.
Oh, he doesn't care.
They are remaking Pokemon Diamond and Pearl. There will be Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, which will be coming to the Nintendo Switch.
Very cool.
They're also doing, which I didn't read into this a lot. I didn't see the trailer, but they're doing like I guess it's the first open world Pokemon game. Pokemon Legends Arceus.
That'll be really interesting because, I mean, the whole idea is you go out in the wild to catch Pokemon, right?
Basically.
So having an open world concept where you can just walk around and find them is kind of cool.
And me mispronouncing the mythical Pokemon's name has a lot of people screaming at their podcast device, probably, as I mispronounced Arceus. I'm already deep into it, and it's not going to work anymore.
See, if I'm not sure, I just don't say it. Or I look it up and say
Arceus.
It properly.
Arceus.
Arceus makes sense. Arceus.
Definitely. Yeah. Takes place in the world of Pokemon Sword and Shield. Let's see. Battles are done through regular turn-based combat. In the beginning, I mean, it kind of starts off as a regular Pokemon game.
Mm-hmm.
Open world, and it should come out next year, 2022.
Cool.
It's going to be a prequel to Diamond and Pearl.
Nice.
So, all right, cool. So we'll see how that goes. And speaking of Pokemon, though, I do want to show this off. I did put it on my social media, so a lot of people, I think, have already seen it. I should say a lot of people.
I have to say, it's a very beautiful piece.
Oh, my gosh. I got my own Pokemon. I got this gorgeous glass Pokeball.
Which, it's really cool.
With Charmander in there.
Charizard.
No, Charizard is the... See, this is why we don't know about Pokemon. Charmander.
Charmander is the smaller version. The pre-evolved
Charizard. See, you're wrong. This is Charizard.
I said Charizard.
Did you?
Charmander.
Oh, was I? All right.
Yes.
Whatever. What do you want? We don't go back and edit. We just film. Okay, this is a one take thing. So.
Steve, the Unfun Gamer, I want you to chime in at this point and leave a little message on our page, please.
To yeah, me, Charizard sounds like it should be the first one. I don't know why.
Why? Charmander. Okay, if you think about it, Charmander is like Salamander, right? Like small.
Yeah.
Charizard is like, you know.
All right. That actually makes sense. There you go. Nevertheless, this is my gold Pokemon. This is my crystal clear Pokemon ball, which I absolutely adore, and I love this thing. And it's got some weight to it, too.
I'm so glad you enjoy the glass crystal Pokeball that with the Pokemon in it that you don't know.
I never said I was an expert on this game, so... I gotta go watch Detective Pikachu again, because I know he's in the game. He's in the movie.
Yeah, he's definitely in the movie. But I love how you try and correct me when I've actually played some Pokemon games and know the names.
I apologize. I stood corrected.
Yes.
All you. Right. Tell me what number Pokemon is Charmander and Charizard.
I do not want to tell you.
All
that.
Right.
Look, I'm happy enough that I know some of that. I know like the names of like the original ones. I can't go anywhere near like the newer ones.
I think it's like five or six.
And I actually Charizard think six. In one of my college courses, mm-hmm. In a video presentation, I used Pokemon.
Did you really?
I did, because there was one that was called out for being inherently racist.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. Yes. Curious which one that is.
Jinx.
How is Jinx? Oh, okay.
Well, you can look it up later.
Alrighty.
Jinx the racist Pokemon.
Jinx.
J-Y-N-X.
I figured that's how you spell it.
Anyway,
but nevertheless, yeah, very happy birthday, Pokemon. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I can see.
Yeah. Okay. That. So happy 25th anniversary to Pokemon. They're 25 years old, which again makes me feel even older.
Oh, forget about it.
Also makes me happy. I deleted Pokemon Go from my phone.
Yeah. The best part about Pokemon Go is like a week later, everyone's complaining how their legs hurt.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, why am I doing all this walking? It's like, it's called exercise. No.
Awesome. And then finally, at least as far as anniversaries, and at least this I can talk about a little bit better. It is the 10 year, which I didn't realize already. I thought this was maybe just a tad older, mm-hmm. but it is the 10 year anniversary of the Nintendo 3DS.
Which is insane when you think about it.
You're telling me. The original 3DS dropping in North America, well, in Japan, February 26, 2011. We got it the end of March, about a month later, 2011.
Okay.
Of course, that was the regular 3DS, the 3DS XL, the larger version, dropped actually a year later. Wow. We got it August 19th of 2012. I would say it's still going strong, but since the Switch came out, some of that love from Nintendo for the 3DS started pulling back. But... for what could possibly be the final generation for the hand for like exclusive handheld systems for Nintendo, I think the 3DS, and I'm going to include the 2DS in that because it's kind of an offshoot, but the 3DS really, in my opinion, was fantastic. Of course, the whole goal of the system was 3D without glasses. So I remember when they talked about this and they announced they're working on a 3D system, mm-hmm. but you don't need glasses. So let's go back a little bit. Let's go back 10 years ago when the whole 3D craze was happening. Remember this? In movies Absolutely. And everything like that. So, and I bought in hook, line, and sinker to 3D movies. I really did.
You don't say.
I some movies made it work. Granted they were like $10 more than a regular movie, mm-hmm. but the you know what you got out of it, like for example the first major 3D movie was Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I hate the story, like the movie itself I did not like, but the 3D, like the way it looked, was amazing.
Yeah, the story to me wasn't anything original, but to add on top of that, the headache I got from seeing that well, in 3D was legendary.
This is 10% of people cannot see 3D, or at least have issues with 3D. Mm-hmm. You're part of that, and we knew that way back when you tried playing my Virtual Boy.
That's right. Yeah, that piece of trash. Well, no. That gave me a headache just because of how crappy it is. How
dare you, sir.
All right, on top of the virtual. No, virtual stuff, first-person perspective, headache-inducing. Yeah, not good for me.
So thereafter, yep, I saw a lot of movies. I think the last three movies I saw where I went, all right, maybe this is starting to die out, was when they remember they were going to re-release all the Star Wars in 3D?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I went and I saw Phantom Menace in 3D. I'm like, nope, this doesn't help anything. No. It doesn't justify for anybody.
You can't retcon a movie in 3D. No. You just can't.
So, but in the middle of this 3D craze, I was actually looking into 3D televisions. I was going to buy a 3D television. But the problem with this was you had to wear glasses, which were fine, but with this modern 3D, you had to sync the glasses. It wasn't just putting them on and go, not like the movie theater.
Right.
Even though I did buy my own personal pair of 3D glasses.
Yes, I remember. Theaters. I remember when you did that.
Listen, those were a lot better than the ones you got in the theater. And they doubled as shades.
I just like the red and blue ones that I still have in my Nightmare on Elm Street DVD collection.
Now, that's just retro. That is classic.
That is very classic.
Have you ever seen a movie in a theater with those old school?
Yeah, I actually saw Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare in the theater with my dad. And with those 3D glasses, it was insane. Absolutely insane that they worked.
Side note, actually one of the better movies I saw that took advantage of the 3D when a 3D worked was Jackass 3D.
Oh, good Lord.
So in any event, so you had to like really like set, like if you thought setting up the PlayStation VR was a pain in the butt, trying to set up one of these 3D televisions was a menace. So Nintendo was talking about
Phantom Menace.
So Nintendo was talking about, you know, doing this 3D system, but without glasses. So like, how the hell is that going to work? Fast forward to the Nintendo 3DS, and it actually did work.
Yeah.
And I remember getting the game, getting the system, and then getting those exclusive 3D games, such as Super Mario 3D World. Because I was in 3D.
Yep.
I remember some of the first ones I got was a Madden game, Street Fighter, like Splinter Cell, like some of those quick ones. And then, of course, Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds in 3D. And all of this was just amazing. But the issue I remember with the original 3DS, before they kind of redesigned it, was, okay, fine, you don't have to wear glasses. The way they did, actually the technology behind it was actually pretty interesting. Even though you had to be straight on with it, it basically, see the way 3D works is it has, you have one image for one eye and another image for the other eye. I know this sounds straightforward, but maybe some people don't get it. And that's what the glasses do. If you close your eye, one eye, you only see like half the image.
Right.
And then you flip, and with the two, that's how you get it. So what the 3DS was doing was there on the screen at a certain distance, it was just doing that because of the way your eyes are. And I thought it was really interesting. But the problem was if you just like if you just strayed just a little bit, it blurred it. And that was the problem with the 3DS. Now, luckily, you can turn off the 3DS because that was the other selling point. They're like, you can turn off. Well, of course, you can turn off the 3DS. You can turn off the 3D. And that made it cool because there were a lot of games actually I ended up playing just in regular 2D. So it had
And they also released at a certain point the 2DS, right?
The 2D, correct. Yeah. The, no, 2DS, which eventually 2DS. Became kind of because when the 3D craze died out, they just went straight to the Nintendo 2DS.
Yep.
Also, they did that because it was recommended kids under the age of 6 should not play 3D games because you know they're still developing their eyes and whatnot. Like puppies, they're born blind. So
can you just imagine kids developing and only seeing in 3D because of the 3DS? Oh, but, you played that 3DS before you turned 6. Now you can only see like that.
Yeah, right. So originally, you know, I was like, all right, it is what it is, but it was still just a fun aspect to it. And the games, as again, it's not. The 3D was never an issue of it coming out at you. It was depth. That's what it was.
Right.
And same thing with the movies. It wasn't coming at you. Well, maybe with the red and blue glasses.
Well, with the red and blue, it was coming at you. It was all about coming forward. Yeah, but to your point, like 3D was all about creating that illusion of depth so that it looked like.
Correct.
Yeah, it was coming out too.
And that did do a lot with the games. Like, it did a lot for Zelda. You know, it did a lot for Super Mario 3D World that we're all playing. Well, a lot of us are playing on the Switch right now.
Right.
But it wasn't until, like, that 3DS XL came out where it actually came up with a tracking system for your eye. And so that way, when you move the system, it does, and you can actually almost watch it on an angle, but still get the 3D effect. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was the bigger point. I'm like, all right, this is now awesome. And you kind of go into it, and it is what it is. Video games, though, like the actual games, look, unlike the original Game Boy and Game Boy Advance, I got to admit, to me at least, there weren't a lot of like standout games that go, this stands up to everything else.
Yeah.
Maybe Super Mario 3D Land. I know I said 3D World. 3D World was on the Wii U. But Super Mario 3D Land was good. Link Between Worlds was really good. But that's really kind of it. There was no major standout game. So okay. The 3DS, as much as it's 10 years old, I think was great for innovation. But even that eventually died out, like you said, when the 2DS became more of the proprietary system over the 3DS. But mm-hmm. still, though, it's a great system. It had great, like, for the backlog of DS games, which are amazing. And that's a whole episode unto itself, because there are some gems on that. But I think Nintendo, as always, they were innovative. They found a way around a problem. It worked. And honestly, I would have loved to have seen that get kind of universally accepted. Mm-hmm. Because if they did that on a large-scale television, I would absolutely be owning a 3D television as we speak that you don't have to wear glasses for.
Yeah.
So that's my spiel. Happy birthday to the Nintendo 3DS.
Well, and as you know, with me and my handheld experience, of which I have very little, a very happy 10th anniversary to the Nintendo 3DS, a system I've never played.
There we go. So, but nevertheless, you know, that's where we're at. And that's basically where we're at with anniversaries, at least for this week.
Yeah, exactly. So, so outside of that, I mean, I only have one other thing to really throw at you. And then I have a feeling we can wrap up at that point.
Yep.
But we had a Sony State of Play this week.
Oh, yes.
And in said Sony State of Play, they announced the PlayStation Plus games for next month, for March. Mm-hmm. Biggest surprise coming out of that, there are actually four games, three of them on the PS4, one on the PS5.
Mm-hmm.
But the big news from that was that the Final Fantasy VII Remake is going to be free for PlayStation Plus members, which is huge because the game is amazing, right? I finished it, finally finished it like a month ago and loved every second of it. But now in Sony State of Play that they announced this week, that they announced the Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade, which will arrive on PlayStation 5 in June, on June 10th. And basically what it is it's a free upgrade of Final Fantasy VII to 4K and 8K. So if 8K. You wanted a... I think it was 8K, right?
No, maybe 4K.
Well, okay, so 4K to 4K. So if you wanted to play the game in true 4K, you're going to be able to come June.
Yes.
And then also, there's going to be a new story episode released with one of the characters who did not make it into the game, into the remake game, Yuffie, from the original Final Fantasy VII. So there's going to be a whole new story that you can play, or a new story episode you can play with Yuffie. That part I'm very excited about. The upgrade to 4K is going to be great, but I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to go back and play through the game just because it's getting an upgrade to 4K.
Mm-hmm.
But I would I'm looking forward to playing the Yuffie side story. They announced some other games being released. Just really quickly to run through those. Mm-hmm. Kena: Bridge of Spirits will arrive on August 24th. Returnal.
Returnal, yes.
Returnal, yes. Another game coming out on the PS5. They had an update on that. It was delayed to April 30th. Oddworld's Soulstorm in the new Oddworld series coming out April 6th. They showed the Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time. They showcased that. It's
the PS5. Released. That's the PS5 upgrade.
The PS5 upgrade coming out on March 12th. And then there is a multiplayer dodgeball game, Knockout City.
I saw that originally on the Switch Direct, the Nintendo Direct. So,
yeah, it's going to be released on the PS4 on May 21st. And then we also have, what is it? Sifu, which is a Kung Fu game. For the PS4 and 5. I don't have a release date on that. They've also pointed out Solar Ash is coming to, it's a third person action platformer.
Okay.
That is also coming out this year. And then they had some gameplay footage of Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach.
Creepy.
Yeah, those games are just creepy. I tried one of them once. I'm like, okay, you just freaked out a little bit. So a bunch of stuff from Sony State of Play. And then again, like I said, for the PlayStation Plus games for March, you're getting the Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Awesome.
Remnant from the Ashes. Hmm. The PlayStation VR game Farpoint, if you don't already have it. I already do. And then on PlayStation 5, the extra game you get is a puzzle game called Maquette.
Oh, cool.
Which I'm looking forward to because I am out of puzzle games. I do love my puzzle games.
Well-deserved. All right, cool.
So, and very that's all stuff. I have for this week.
All right. I think we actually ended up getting a full episode out of this.
We did.
Shockingly.
So it happens when we start talking.
Absolutely. So, Ant, where can they find us?
You guys can find us on facebook.com/retrogamerspodcast, on Instagram at retrogamerspodcast, and on Twitter at retrogamerspod. You can watch us on YouTube and IGTV. You can listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. We are everywhere. And you can also, if you want to message us, you can message us on any of our platforms, or you can email us at email@theretrogamers.com.
There we go. And with that, Ant, have a good week.
You have a very wonderful week as well. Good luck playing Legend of Zelda.
I'm going to try. And we will catch you everywhere next week on the Retro Gamers Podcast.